It is good to be with you all. We are glad that you are worshiping with us on this last Sunday of our Be Renewed journey. Hopefully you have tracked with us over these, not just last few weeks, but really Be Renewed is a story that's been being written through all of 2020 in some ways. As our world has been upended, we feel like God has been leading us on a journey over these last few months that has led us ultimately to realize that he is moving and working and doing something around us that is bigger than just us. We spent a few weeks after Hurricane Sally talking about some of the ways we believe God's calling us to engage the community and that he's already at work in the community. Things like meeting the real life needs of people in our town, serving through food, meeting people at the table, both our friends, our neighbors, and our enemies as a place of restoration and reconciliation. We've talked about what it means that we feel like God's calling us to serve every kid in our community, and then ultimately that we desire deeply not just to be consumers of religious activities, but that we long to be transformed followers of Jesus, and that we want God to do something in us. We don't want this just to be about attending events, but we want to participate with the divine of what God is doing. And then these last few weeks, kind of we've taken that, and we've pushed all of that into saying, Lord, here we are. And just like the text that Chris has been leading us in every week, the Romans 12, of that we're offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, that's what all this is to come to this point today of saying, Lord, we're ready, we're eager, we're hungry, we're anticipating. And so I hope you've tracked on that journey with us. I'm glad you're here today as we seek to kind of bring all of this home. And then just like John said earlier, if you're here local watching with us, if you call Foley your church home, we really want you to come between 2 and 3:30 this afternoon and drive through the parking lot. We think this is kind of the declaration of, since we can't all gather together in this room and worship, it's a way for us to kind of gather together and say, yes, Lord, we're ready. And so if you're not local, but you've come to call Foley your church home over these last few months and you want to find out more about what it would look like to partner financially with us, you can go to foleyumc.org/be-renewed and find out information there. But we're really glad you're here today. I want to read a passage of scripture out of the book of Hebrews, and then I want to kind of just try and tie all of this Be Renewed together kind of into what God is doing and how we can respond to him. I'm going to read Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, and I invite you to listen now with me together for the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have confidence that we can enter the Holy of Holies by means of Jesus' blood, through a new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, which is his body. And we have a great high priest over God's house. Therefore, let us draw near with a genuine heart, with the certainty that our faith gives us, since our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water. Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable. Let me read that again. Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable. Let's also think about how to motivate each other to show love and to do good works. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see that day drawing near. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this season of renewal. Lord, thank you for Be Renewed and how you have met us in it. Lord, thank you for the testimonies that we have heard of people opening their lives to you, of people engaging with you, of people seeking you and hungering for you. And Lord, thank you that the promises that you give are reliable. And Lord, as we finish this season in worship this morning and then this afternoon, Lord, we do ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, that your spirit would work in ways we can't even begin to conceive, and that, Lord, the one whose knowledge and understanding is unfathomable, that you would be at work in us and through us and in our community in ways that will bring the maximum glory to your name and will lead us to where you want us. And we trust you for this, and we pray confidently in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. And all God's children, digitally there on your couch or at your kitchen table, said, amen. Amen. And the two of you, I feel like I'm preaching for an audience of the king and queen this morning. I wish y'all could see the camera. John and Jenny are in thrones. We'll just call them thrones. The nice chairs that sometimes we use up here. And the two of them are like my audience this morning for worship. And now Malachi has joined in. So if I look down, it's because I'm preaching to the royalty here in the room. If I look up, it's I'm trying to look at the camera to see all of you. You know, as I've been thinking about Be Renewed, over these last few weeks, one of the things that I have just become so present to and so aware of is that renewal is the story of God. Some people may think, oh, Be Renewed is just something that Foley United Methodist put together, or it's a program, or it's slick little booklets that we send out in the mail, or videos that we show in worship. But all of that is just a representation that renewal, that being renewed, is the story of God. You can see this in so many ways, and all you have to do is really just take a broad sweep of the highest level view of Scripture to see that this is how God works. From really about page 2 of the Bible, where you would encounter the Garden of Eden falling apart, sin entering into the picture, the fellowship with God being broken. From page 2 of the Bible all the way to the very end, it is a story about renewal. It is a story about how God pursues those things that are lost, about how He wants the people who He has created and called to be restored into the fullness of who He is, and how He seeks after them, and ultimately how they can respond and participate with Him to live into renewal. I mean, we see it in so many ways, not just in Scripture. I mean, you can look at various places in Scriptures. You can see it in individual stories. But you can see it even in the creation that God has made, that there is something about His ethos, about who He is, about His identity, that works in this almost cyclical pattern of renewal. I mean, just think about here we are in winter, as the days are getting shorter, as the amount of light is going down, as darkness is increasing, and there's this sense that the earth is frozen and the ground is hard, and so we enter into this place where it's broken and it's not restored and it's not full and alive. And yet we live with this sense of after the winter comes the spring, of after the spring comes the summer, and there is this sense of growth and fruit and harvest that we can always look forward to. We see it in the tomb of Jesus, that the very way that God offers salvation to the world, the way that He comes and gives us the wholeness and access to Him, is by dying. And that in that place of death, then He brings renewal and comes to life out of the grave. You can see it across the heroes of the faith. I mean, you can look at heroes in the Bible. You can look at heroes like the Billy Grahams and Mother Teresa's. You can look at lesser-known heroes like Howard Thurman or Thomas Merton. I mean, whoever it is that you see that you're like, those are people who are authentic and real into the way of Jesus, that exude what Paul would call the fragrance of Christ. Those are people who have been renewed. And the way that they have been renewed is this kind of journey of growing into what God wants. And as I think about this whole aspect of renewal and how this is what God is about, it makes me want us to finish today not just thinking about what this season has been like of 4 or 5 sermons that we've done together, but what does it look like to live into God's story fully? What does it look like for us to be renewed and live boldly with the confidence of a God who renews us? I think one of the ways to help us understand renewal, because renewal can be tricky. It can be hard. It doesn't always come the way we think it will, is to look at one particular story of renewal in Scripture. The story of Peter is a great place to do this, because Peter is someone that we can track with over several different kind of scenes or acts of his life. We see different places where he shows up in different books of the New Testament, and so we can understand more fully what his journey looked like. I think when we begin to meet Peter in some ways is the picture of renewal that many of us would ascribe to. That here's Peter, who his story was that he was one of the earlier followers of Jesus. And that when he went to follow Jesus, he left everything behind. He left the fishing business that his dad had started. He left his siblings. He left all these things. And he went out and yielded his life to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go where Jesus goes. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to follow his teaching. And in many ways, I think many people would have looked at Peter, and when it came to being a follower of Jesus, they would have said, that's who I want my kids to be. That's who I want to be. If I could be like Peter, that would be amazing. I think there were mamas and daddies all over first century Palestine saying, I hope my kid will grow up to be like Peter. But the truth of Peter's story is that Peter was renewed, but Peter wasn't completely renewed. That Peter was on the journey, and that much of the renewal that he had experienced was good, but it wasn't all. Peter was very much in control. Peter was very much thinking and seeing the world the way he wanted to see the world. In some ways, Peter's view of the world was so completely different from Jesus' view of the world that they bumped heads over and over again. And ultimately, what we find when we look at Peter's story is that for Peter, when the going went well, it was easy and comfortable to be renewed. He liked the life that he had found. He liked the life that he could build. He liked the life of walking with Jesus and doing the things that Jesus wanted him to do. And it was comfortable. But what we find as we continue to track with Peter's story is that there comes a point in Peter's story where the going isn't good anymore, where the going got tough, where he went through a season that was unexpected. And what we find when we investigate Peter's story is that inside of him, once you get below the surface level, once you get into the character of his heart, is that there were places inside Peter's life that weren't renewed. There were places inside of him where he bumped up against a Peter that didn't look like the one that followed Jesus in the crowd when everything was comfortable. It was the night before Jesus died on our behalf when he was arrested. And Jesus was taken to the high priest's house, and many of Jesus' followers kind of followed at a distance to watch and wait and see what would happen. Peter, being one of the more outspoken disciples and leaders of the group of friends, went too. But Peter lurked in the shadows. Peter stayed away. Peter tried to remain hidden. He hoped that he could just wait until Jesus got released and they could all go home and figure out what would come next. But on a cold evening, as he stood there warming by the fire, hoping that he wouldn't be noticed, someone recognized him. And all of a sudden, the tension in Peter's life grew. All of a sudden, the anxiety or the struggle or the hardship became real. All of a sudden, Peter was singled out. And almost instantaneously, like a switch flipped inside of him, a completely different Peter showed up than the one that we had seen through all those nice, neat, comfortable places in the gospel story so far. This Peter, this one who showed that he wasn't fully renewed, denied and deceived, he lied, and ultimately he ran away. I think a lot of us, as we in this Be Renewed season, can think about renewal, and we may find ourselves identifying with Peter in some ways. Maybe you've been on a journey where you've been like Peter, and you've done all the things you know to do. You've done what you can do that's comfortable. And maybe for you, the story is the same, that when the going is good, it's easy to be renewed. When the going is good, it's easy to be renewed. And we can participate in church activities, and we can go to events, and we can do things. But I bet there are places in your life where, like Peter, a different you may show up. Maybe it's in a moment of tension. Maybe it's in a moment of anxiety. Maybe it's when you get singled out. Maybe it's when a voice of authority calls you out, or when the amount of pressure of 2020 just grows and grows and grows. And finally, just like Peter, a different you comes out. You respond in a way that you normally would never plan to do. You show up in a way that you look back at it and go, why did I act that way? And what you see is that inside of yourself, there's a disconnect. Because on one level, you say, I want to be renewed. I want to be that person. And then there's a part of you that says, but yet I'm not there all the time. And I think for a lot of us, the way we respond in that moment is just like Peter did. I think for many people, maybe people who aren't even watching this worship service, that they have run away. I think this is the point that for so many people, they walk away from faith. And that they say, God can't really do all those things that Chris was just kind of leading us about and challenging us about and talking about revival, that God can't really do all that. And maybe he does it for other people, but he can't do it for me. And there's this sense of, we run and we hide. And then for others of us, maybe we're still watching the live stream. Or we're still attending events, or we're still doing things, or filling out Be Renewed commitment cards. But inside of us, we've checked out. We've hidden. We've said, I don't know if this is true. We're just going through the motions. And we wonder if there really is more. That it's one thing when the going is good to be renewed, but in those hardest and struggling places like 2020, we wonder if God can really meet us too. The truth, and what we see as we continue to follow Peter's story, is that none of us can be renewed without an encounter with Jesus. Now, when you talk about an encounter with Jesus, that can be weird. Because I think people sometimes think, well, how do I have an encounter with Jesus? What does that mean, Nolan? You know, I hear churchy folks say that, and I think about that kind of thing. But Jesus lived a long time ago, and he went back to heaven, and now we got the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I can't control him. I don't know how to, you know, what do I do? How do I meet him? And others are like, that's just too mystical and too weird. And I think one of the great things that we see when we track with Peter's story is that we can see the kind of work that God wants to do in our lives. And when you look at John 21, which is where you can see Peter have this encounter with Jesus, is that we can see how Jesus seeks Peter out and how he wants to meet with him. And in a loving and encouraging way, he restores Peter. That he looks at Peter and he recognizes the brokenness and the mistakes, and Peter owning the fact that he couldn't do it all by himself and that he ran away. And that Jesus, in the way that only the Spirit can work, touches his life and says that you are greater than the mistakes you've made. You are greater than the story that you tell yourself about you. You are greater maybe even than the stories that you've grown up hearing others tell about you. And that Jesus looks at Peter and in a way he says, I believe that you have more in you than you believe that you have more in you. And in a Spirit-filled way, Jesus touches Peter's life and Peter is renewed in a way that had never happened before. It was a renewal that expanded beyond Peter's control. It was a renewal that expanded beyond Peter just being renewed when the going was good. It was a renewal that began to change the very core and character and heart of who Peter was. And what we see is that this renewal changes the very way that Peter shows up. That as we turn into the book of Acts, and as we see the Spirit come and the birth of the church and the movement of God expanding across all of the world, it's Peter who stands up not to run and hide, to deceive and deny, but to lead the 3,000 people gathered on Pentecost and to say, I want to move us into a bold proclamation of the way of Jesus. That's renewal. That's what it looks like to be renewed. That's what it looks like to encounter the divine in such a way that we work with it, but we engage in what God wants. There's a sense of surrender and submission. There's a sense of saying that I have to do my part, but if God doesn't do his part, nothing will ever happen. I love the way that the Apostle Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians when he talks about how he planted the seed and his brother Apollos came and watered, but ultimately it was God who made it grow. Because there's this really dynamic interchange that's crucial in this life of renewal. If we're going to live into a way of renewal, it's that we have to plant the seed and we might have to make it water. But without God making it grow, we'll never know renewal. Just like if we don't plant the seed or we don't water, God won't just make it grow. There's this participation and cooperation with what God alone can do in your life, but yet what you have to yearn for and want, what you have to seek out and engage, what you have to try and exhibit and enter into in your life is meeting God where he wants to work and grow in yours. I wish there was a magic formula to say this is exactly how we make it happen, but it can happen in all kinds of ways. Ultimately, what's the most important in really encountering renewal is you're yearning for and seeking it and engaging it. It could happen as you serve a meal to the homeless. It could happen as you participate in a Be Renewed small group. It could happen in worship. It could happen in a chance reading of the Bible or a time of prayer. It could happen in a class where you're investigating your own life and looking for obstacles and places where you've struggled to live fully into what God wants. What we know is that it won't happen if you don't want it. What we know is that God rarely forces his way into places where he isn't invited. What we know is that God seeks to meet us and respond in ways that are different than we're expecting. And so while it might be an instantaneous change that comes to our lives, it might be God sneaking in through the back door. And that over a season of participating and seeking and yearning and wanting, that all of a sudden we begin to wake up and like a flower blooming, we realize that God has done something new inside of us. At the core of renewal is this sense that God is at work and we are yearning for what he alone can do. And there is a sense of we are participating, engaging, and seeking after what he can give. Renewal isn't a one-time thing. It isn't the thing that just happened in seventh grade when you made that profession of faith at a youth camp and you checked the box and everything is over. to really live into the fullness of what God wants, to participate fully in the very character of who God is that we have to continually live in this place where we're seeking and yearning and hungering after all that God wants. That's really what the message of Hebrews says to us. I resisted the book of Hebrews for an awful long time in my life because I didn't really understand what it was all about. But as I've come to understand it more and studied it more in depth, what I realize is that it's written to a people like you and me. That it's written to a people who live in a world where it would be easy to put our trust in other things or seek to stay in control or try and build our own renewal. And what the writer of Hebrews wants us to realize is that Jesus is supreme. That Jesus is above everything that we could ever use or try, whether it's a pattern of religion or a way of the world, whatever it is that Jesus triumphs above it all. And that God is calling us to live fully yielded and committed to Jesus, because what he can do in our lives, the renewal he can bring, the restoration of what he wants for you and me, is greater than anything we could ever accomplish on our own. And so in the text that I shared just a few minutes ago, it follows after the writer has worked all the way through all these things that we might try and say, well, this is the way that I come to do my life. This is the way that I found I can find peace in my life. And every time the writer comes back and says, no matter how good that is, Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. Jesus is our ultimate priest. Jesus is the one in whom we will find renewal that you cannot find anywhere else. And then he walks through some of these things that we can anchor our lives to because of the goodness of him. And ultimately what he tells us is that we can be renewed and we can live boldly. We can have confidence that we can draw near. We can have confidence that we can hold fast to that hope that we have. And we can have confidence that we can work together to move fully into what God is doing in our midst. I love that line in verse 23. It's the one that I read a second time a few minutes ago when he says, "Let's hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because the one who made the promises is reliable." That we can have confidence because the one who made the promises is reliable. That we can be renewed and live boldly because the one who made the promises is reliable. That's really what this season of Advent is. John and Chris both mentioned Advent as we began our worship together today. But Advent is just a season of renewal. It's a season of actively engaging and yearning, of saying we're ready and we're anticipating the fullness of what God wants to do. That we don't want to try and be in control and only be renewed when the going is good. But that we want to welcome the fullness of what God alone can do in our lives and participate with it so that we can be and become what he's designed us and created us to be. Advent starts with this idea that we're yearning for one day when God will accomplish the full renewal that is greater than anything, when Jesus will come back and restore all of creation into the created identity that it started with. But then it turns to thinking of Christmas again. And this sense of the darkness that we live in, the winter that we're in the midst of, the places where our lives have grown fallow and barren, and we're inviting God to break into those places. That's the life of renewal. That's the life of hungering and seeking for more of what God can do. And so as we come to the end of this Be Renewed season, as we culminate it this afternoon in the parking lot, as we come and celebrate what God has done and together commit ourselves to where God is leading, we come longing not just for this to have been 5 weeks that we said we wanted to be renewed and then we move on to whatever comes next. We come seeking to live into the fullness of what God alone can do. We come seeking to live into the fullness of a life that God can give. We come wanting Peter's story and whatever it looks like for us to become our story. That we can reach these places where we've done what we can do, but then we can surrender and meet a loving God that meets us and says, there is more in you than you believe about yourself. And that with my touch and with my Spirit's work, that I can nurture in you a life that is greater than anything you could ever conceive on your own. That's what we want to be about. That's who we're declaring ourselves to be. That's what we move into Advent saying, come, Lord Jesus, we're ready for the renewal that you alone can give. We can be renewed and live boldly because the one who made the promises is reliable. Pray with me, please. I'm going to invite you just right now where you are to take a moment to pray, just maybe to sit silently in God's presence. As John often leads us when he leads prayer times, I'm going to invite you to take a deep breath. Just breathe in through your nose and hold it and breathe it out. Just as you breathe in, say, "Come, Holy Spirit." As you breathe out, relax into God's presence. We want to end this time by praying together, just taking a moment right where you are to invite this renewal. And so wherever you are, just what your own story is, I just invite you to pray how you see your life and Peter's story. And so maybe as you think about Peter, who worked real hard to do all the right things, and in many ways created renewal on his own, you can resonate with that. And it's not that that's bad. And so you might thank God for the ways that you've stepped into living faithfully into the ways that he wants. You might thank him for the ways that he's given you opportunity and blessed your life as you've sought to follow him. And then maybe there's a place where you can see that you don't view the world the way that Jesus views the world. And so like Peter, you bump heads with Jesus sometimes. That when he says to love these people or care for these folks or to give generously or to forgive abundantly, that you struggle. And God knows that. He doesn't wag his finger. He loves you. And so I invite you just to confess that. And then as you think about those places where maybe the tension grows or the struggle or the being singled out or embarrassed or the hardships or authority or the fear that might come in your life that makes you want to run or hide or check out, I just want to invite you right now to invite a renewal. Maybe it's just the simple prayer that we pray so frequently, "Come, Holy Spirit." And then with the depths of who you are, I want to invite you to yearn for it, to hunger for it, to believe that God can do it, and to welcome it in your life. And then like Peter, I want you to anticipate. Maybe it's a vision of where God is leading or a dream of what he may do, of what he might yet want to do in and through you, of where you might find freedom and release and wholeness in your life that you've never known before. Maybe you don't even believe it's possible. Come, Holy Spirit. God, as we finish this season together, Lord, our desire is you. As we've realized your calling in and through this church and across this community over 2020, we recognize that you are not interested in just having more church attenders. That, Lord, you are interested in bringing awakening and renewal and revival in our lives. That you don't want us to be people that just know the story of Jesus. You want us to be people who are transformed by Jesus. And so, Lord, we welcome that. On behalf of everyone who's watching right now or who will watch this, Lord, we just pray for a movement of your Spirit. We pray for awakening across this community, across South Baldwin County, and across all the communities where people are watching this from. And Lord, we just ask that you would help move us out of the places of being stuck and checked out, where we've run and hidden, where we've wondered like Peter if we can ever know more of you. And that you would do something in us that would exceed even our wildest imaginations. Lord, we love you and we're hungry for what you can do. And so we invite that. We're going to finish our prayer time together now by praying a prayer out loud that is a classic prayer of the Methodist movement. It's a prayer John Wesley wrote 250 years ago. So I'm going to invite you just to look at the screen. You'll see it there on the screen. And where you are, no matter if there's folks sitting around, if you're eating your bowl of cereal, just set your spoon down. And I just invite you to pray this as a way to commit yourself to the renewal that God wants to give. Let's pray together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thy wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. In the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I am so glad that you have been with us this morning. I'm so glad that you have been with us through this Be Renewed season. If you're local in town, we would love to see you this afternoon between 2 and 3:30. But until then, we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday too as we continue this journey of a life of being renewed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We'll see you next week.